Americans need help, and they need it now.
The president-elect said he was confident he could get Republicans to go big on additional economic measures once he takes office, but he expressed concern over the administration's plans to distribute a COVID vaccine.
There is no detailed plan that we've seen anyway as to how you get the vaccine out of a container into an injection syringe into somebody's arm. And it's going to be very difficult for that to be done, and it's very expensive.
While Mr. Biden said he would be willing to get a vaccine, he would not require it for all Americans.
I don't think it should be mandatory. I wouldn't demand to be mandatory, but I would do everything in my power, just like I don't think masks have to be made mandatory nationwide.
He also acknowledged the pandemic could impact his inauguration next month, including the possibility of scaling back the inaugural parade.
I think you're going to see something that's closer to what the convention was like than the typical inauguration. First and foremost, and my objective, is to keep America safe.
A top immunologist says he regrets voting for Joe Biden after the president announced strict new vaccine mandates last week. In a tweet, he says, quote, "I voted for Biden. As a McCain Republican, it was an error, and I now regret it. Thursday night's chest beating was one of the most destructive and divisive speeches ever given by a U.S. president who claims to be a well-reasoned uniter, acting on science." Joining us now to explain is immunologist Dr. Houman Noorkazem. Doctor, what brought you to that point?
Good morning, Brian. Thanks very much for having me. Look, I was reflecting this past weekend on the 9/11 remembrance, and I remember back in 2001 how essentially every media outlet was united and transmitting the same message. You know, we're in a position where our country for the past several years has been tremendously divided. And, you know, frankly, as a friend to John McCain, I felt that President Biden stands a chance of uniting the country, acting on science, taking down the temperature, if you will. And, you know, on Thursday, I finally came to the recognition as an immunologist, based on this, the rigidity of this mandate and the massive blunder that's contained within it, that this is not happening. I have to say, the mandate as it stands, essentially has opened the door to discrimination against about 80 to 100 million Americans who are naturally immune. I mean, these folks are essentially being discriminated against. The president of the United States pointed to them and opened the door to a massive level of discrimination. And it's not just, you know, verbal discrimination. We're talking about loss of employment. I can't tell you the number of emails I receive every day of Americans who are naturally immune. And I know from a scientific perspective, and I know some of your guests in the past have talked about this. Certainly, Dr. Macri's been on with Tucker and with a variety of different hosts. Natural immunity is as effective, if not more so, than vaccine immunity. So the notion that the president of the United States leaves the door open to this level of discrimination against a massive class of Americans.
The Occupational Safety and Health Administration, or OSHA, was established in the 1970s to inspect workplaces and establish standards to prevent industrial accidents. But starting this summer, the Biden administration gave OSHA a new role. Joe Biden told OSHA to start hiding information from the public to promote the COVID vaccine. Until this summer, OSHA required employers to retain records of any worker who suffered a serious side effect from the vaccine. Then in June, OSHA's guidance suddenly changed to this, quote, "OSHA will not enforce federal recording requirements that require any employers to record worker side effects from COVID-19 vaccination." That was a major change, especially since we're still learning so much about these vaccines and their possible side effects. Just hours ago, for example, The Telegraph in Britain reported that, quote, "Teenage boys are six times more likely to suffer from heart problems from the vaccine than be hospitalized from COVID-19. And in Israel, where more than 80% of adults are vaccinated, COVID cases are spiking. Israel now has one of the world's highest daily infection rates. So what explains that? In his remarks to the nation, Joe Biden didn't answer that. Instead, he put OSHA, the same agency that's been hiding evidence of vaccine side effects, in charge of forcing millions of Americans to take the COVID vaccine. Joe Biden didn't even bother to ask Congress. He said the new mandate is justified because COVID is a, quote, emergency. Then he walked away without taking questions once again. But let's look at the facts. On average, more than 98% of COVID-19 patients in the United States survive. That number is well over 99% for every age group, except for the very elderly, whether they're vaccinated or not.
Welcome to The Machine, everyone. I am your host, Mario, here with my co-host, Jeff Rowe. Journey with us as we adventure into conspiracy theories and the unexplained. Welcome back, everyone. I am here with Jeff Rowe. He is here with me live. Jeff Rowe, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Mario. How are you doing, brother?
I'm a little pissed off, to be honest with you. Actually, quite pissed off. I think I've actually had enough of the garbage that we're seeing and dealing with. We actually, just to give the listeners a little bit of an idea, we just got done recording an episode, which we're going to release after this episode with our good friend Lee, not abducted by aliens Lee, but one of our listeners Lee. Thank you, Lee.
Thanks, Lee.
Tune into that episode as we will release it after this episode. Now,
why are we releasing this one first, Mario?
Well, because you and I go back and forth and we talk about things that suppress us and drag us down. And you know, this is something that can't be ignored. This is something that everybody's dealing with. This is an update. We're doing a COVID update. So get ready. Here come another one of my rants. Okay. Cause I'm about to go on a rant that may infuriate people, and I'm not trying to lead an army or anything, although it may sound like it from time to time, because I'm pretty fucking pissed off about all this shit right now, to be honest with you. It's hit closer to home now. There are things that we're seeing that it makes no fucking sense whatsoever. It's nonsensical. This vaccination should be optional to anybody and everybody. Optional.
Optional.
Optional. That's your free will to choose whether or not to put something in your body. It's the same thing as if you were to go to McDonald's and eat that garbage. No offense to anybody. If you eat it, that's your prerogative. That's what you want to do. That's fine.
If you want to go sky jumping.
Yeah. You want to smoke.
You want to ski.
Anything.
Swim with sharks.
Anything. That's what makes a free country a free country. It's free will.
Free will.
Your leaders in your country are trying to take that from you. They're most certainly trying to take that from you, and it's showing day by day how much they're trying to take that from you. The same fucking people who said that they weren't going to do that. Why? Because they needed your goddamn vote. Did they need your vote? I don't know. Seems like they really didn't. They were going to manipulate it anyway. But to give you the smoke and mirror, they told the people what they wanted to hear, or at least the people that agree with them, because make no mistake of it, they don't have the majority of the people backing them now. And I'm sorry, I know I'm going to upset some people right now, and that's fine. I don't mind. If you are still okay with what's happening, you're the fucking problem here. In my eyes, in my opinion, if you're still okay and see what's happening here, and you don't believe people should have the choice, and I understand your train of thought. Oh, we got to do, this is what we have to do to get back. No, you don't. Stop selling people the idea that this is what you have to do to get back to good. that's not the case. They tell us all the time, Jeff Rowe, follow the science. Here we go again. Follow the science. And we did that. And we're still doing that. The problem is that the science doesn't go hand in hand with the agenda. It contradicts their agenda. You want to follow the fucking science, follow the fucking science, right? That's what we're going to do. So what does that mean? Is the vaccination good for everybody? No, it's not. It's not good for everybody.
Well, who's to claim that the vaccine was actually effective? Who claimed that? The FDA, right?
Yeah.
You sent me some information where I was completely shocked by this, but it's not actually the FDA that run the trials. Who runs the trials?
The NIH.
And what division of the NIH does that? The laboratories, right?
The biological laboratories, yeah.
Who's the head of the NIH biological laboratories?
Or his wife.
So Fauci's wife is head of the organization. She didn't recuse herself from this process, knowing that her husband had a conflict of interest in this whole dynamic?
That would be a negative.
So what you're telling me is the person who conceivably funded the research that could have, quote-unquote, accidentally created this virus is married to the person who is, quote-unquote, responsible for approving this vaccine. Is that what you're telling me?
That's what I'm telling you.
Do I have that right? Because
well, the funny thing is when I posted this on Facebook, on our webpage, right? And they do the same thing as they always do. The post was simply this. The NIH that was headed by Fauci's wife gave the scientific biological findings.
The recommendations or
the
whatever.
The recommendations, precisely, to the FDA. The NIH did not approve of the vaccination.
Oh, okay.
But gave them the studies to approve.
Which the FDA used to do the approval.
That's what they do, right? So what does Facebook do? Oh, this is false information. This is false information because it's not the NIH that approved the vaccination. Well, no shit. That's not what my fucking post said, you dumb asses.
It says it gave them the recommendation.
It says they gave the, it's what it says, gave them the recommendation. But that's not what they heard. That's not what they wanted to say, right? They had to fit it to be misinformation before they called it misinformation. So the other people would look at it and go, oh, well, this is misinformation. No, it's not misinformation.
Just to silence you.
Yeah, no, you're just looking for ways to manipulate and silence the people. And that's right. What you're doing here. And
if they wanted clarity, I just throw this in there before you keep going. If they wanted clarity and they were worried about those people who were vaccine hesitant, what they should have done, they should have had transparency. And Fauci's wife, she doesn't even go by Fauci. Actually, she goes by her maiden name. Is that correct?
That's correct.
She should have recused herself from the entire process. That way there would be no, you know, not nepotism, but no conflict of interest. But that's not what they did. That's not what these people do. Once they control, have their, you know, hands around power, they don't give it up.
Yeah, power, when you're that high in the chain of power, conflict of interest is just, they don't bat an eye to it. It doesn't matter.
So basically the public's, you know, well-being or the public's sense of trusting the process wasn't important.
Right. And I think Roberta said it best in our previous podcast, the 50th episode that we did, when she had her conversation with her friend. It was, where do you place your fear? Do you place it in the virus or do you place it in a vaccine? If you place it in a virus, you're going to go get the vaccine. If you place it in a vaccine, well, then you're going solo. And right now, my fear is heavily in the vaccine. And I'll tell you why. One of the reasons, I've had COVID. Did it suck? Yeah. It didn't hit me as hard as some people.
And you have, not to be too revealing, you have some comorbidities. You're over what the American society health surgeon says is overweight.
Right. I'm considered, but unless you live in California, who isn't, right?
Yeah, right. And, you know, also you're a minority.
Sorry, California.
Right? You're partially a minority.
Well, I mean, I don't want to label all Californians as hipster douchebags, as many of them are. I'm not saying every one of you are. You know, obviously, there's a serious issue in California when everybody's fucking leaving it.
Proof's in the pudding on that, right?
Yeah, right. But I think, again, going back to what Roberta said, it was nail on the head right there, right? And it all has to do with fear. We're also talking about a virus, which Dr. Fauci is in a lot of hot fucking water again for this. Not that he was ever out. He's in hot water for lying to the court, correct?
Yeah, about his position of
gain of function.
Gain of function.
Right. The dots are there. They're almost fucking connected for you people out there. They're almost connected for everybody out there. You need to wake up to the possibility that the people speaking to you don't always necessarily want what's best for you. And I think I posted another meme that, which surprisingly didn't get taken down. It said the people pushing a vaccination are the same people who believe this planet is overpopulated. These are the same people that say they could save your lives. Ironic, isn't it?
Right. And the definition is really bothering me here, and I want to get this out there. Let me ask you a few questions. Vaccine. You take the vaccine, you don't get the virus? Or can you still get the virus?
I believe you could still get the virus. If anybody wants to go out there and fact check this, and by the way, if you're going to fact check anything, do yourself a favor. Don't use Google. You're not going to find true information from Google. Don't use social media. You're not going to find true information from social media. Excuse me. I use a different search engine where I have noticed I'm finding other leads on different topics that are not posted on Google, on any Google websites or any Yahoo websites or anything like that. I've been using DuckDuckGo.
So to elaborate on another question I wanted to ask you is, if you take this shot, does it prevent you from shedding the virus?
It does not.
All right, so it doesn't protect you from contracting it. It doesn't prevent you from shedding it. So it's not a vaccine. It's a therapy. So why are they still calling it a vaccine? Why don't they just come out and say, it's a therapy? Because a vaccine is something that prevents you from contracting the ailment, whatever it is you're taking the vaccine for.
No, we're going to demonize something that prevents that from happening. That's the ivermectin, right?
All right, or the antibodies.
Hydrochloroquine. We're not going to talk about these drugs that actually have been scientifically proven, even though we're told to follow the science.
Well, at the very least, they're alternative therapies, and they're demonized. At the very least, they're alternative therapies.
With less side effects.
With less side effects.
Less to none.
What's the difference? Those therapies that we just mentioned that are being suppressed, they're cheap.
They're cheap.
That's the only difference.
Yeah, there's no patent on those.
Matter of fact, Merck, get this, Merck, who is the creator of ivermectin, they're in the process of creating a drug that imitates ivermectin that they're hoping to be able to release to the public. Now, why would they be doing that if the original version of the ivermectin didn't work in the first place? They're going to alter the chemical makeup of it so they can go ahead and patent the new chemical makeup. And as a result, it's going to be a copyrighted drug, which they can go ahead and charge through the roof for. Ivermectin is not effective therapy, then why are they trying to create something that imitates its properties? Answer me that.
One of the posts that I made from a website that I found through DuckDuckGo, could not find through Google, is fullfact.org. And in this post, the title is "The Pfizer Vaccine, Teenagers and Myocarditis. I can't freaking pronounce it. Forgive me. I'm still going on my rant. Full fact, right? If you're a fan of the page, but I'll make sure I post it on our page also, because I know a lot of people have had enough with Facebook's bullshit, and quite frankly, so have I. But there are a lot of things that we're finding out even now about the virus and its origins. But before we get into that, I had a bit of a personal infliction with this, right? We were talking about this. I believe I was talking, I had messaged Roberta on this as well. My wife, her brother, my brother-in-law, he passed away 1 week from today. 1 week. We found out, not the way somebody wants to find out, we found out through social media. Somebody had posted and said, you know, tell me it's not true. Your brother, you know, your brother David is gone. And my wife was just, you know, she was distraught. She tried to contact everybody under the sun, tried to get a hold of the local authorities there to find out, you know, if this was just hearsay or if something had actually happened and went straight to voicemail. Guess what? Not enough workers. There's nobody. You got to call in this particular town. If you have to, if you need help, you can't call the police. You got to call 911. Nobody's there. So she did that. And luckily she did get a hold of somebody that evening, and it was confirmed. By this time, his body had already been taken to the mortician, where they were, you know, doing, is it the mortician? They were doing the autopsy and everything.
Right. The coroner.
The coroner, thank you. Forgive me. Where my wife did ask the obvious question, as anybody would. What happened? What was the cause? And the coroner said, your brother passed away due to inflammation of the heart.
And how old was he?
He was 43 years old.
43?
Inflammation of the heart. And immediately, I asked, did he get the vaccination? Yeah, he got the vaccination. And I said, you know, that is one of the leading causes of death after being vaccinated is inflammation of the heart.
But it's not recorded as a vaccine death.
No. And he couldn't. Here's the fucked up part about that. Okay? So everybody out there, please listen to this. The coroner could not tell her that, even verbally. He was not allowed to, because he had to say it was inflammation of the heart. Due to what? Just inflammation of the heart.
Did he have any pre-existing issues prior to this?
No. I mean, other than when he was little. Well, I mean, like little, like baby little.
Like 30 years ago?
Like, maybe more. Who knows? But it was not significant enough. Not even close to being significant enough. She then says, I'm going off and, you know, she's talking to the coroner and she's having a hard time with it. And she goes, well, what does that mean, inflammation of the heart? And he goes, well, inflammation of the heart. And I'm irate. I go on my rants. And I go, that's fucking bullshit. You know damn well what it's from. At that point, I don't know if I told you this, but at that point, the coroner replies to my wife, connect the dots.
That's what he said?
Connect the dots.
The FDA plans to add a new warning label to the COVID vaccines, cautioning people to watch out for signs of a rare heart problem called myocarditis, particularly in teens and adults under 30.
Myocarditis is inflammation of the heart muscle, and the best way to think about it is that your heart actually has several layers, and myocarditis means that there's inflammation of the middle layer.
So how many times has he had to say that?
First question that popped in my head, right? First question that popped in my head, right there. And it was so quick. Connect the dots. You know what it is. We all know what it is. We're not allowed to say what it is. We're not allowed to tell other people what it is. You know, she did a GoFundMe to try to, you know, raise... We're doing it as cheaply as possible, but trying to do it as respectful as possible, you know, and everybody knows it's expensive to die, you know, as well as live. we're getting a, you know, we're getting some help, and there's been reach out. But there are people who purposely will not help out with it because in the statement it says he died of inflammation of the heart due to, because she was able to write it up, complications with the COVID-19 vaccination. My own blood brother is one of them. Will not comment, will not do anything, will not, you know, hey, here's a dollar. Nothing, which is fine. We're not looking for that. If you want to, you're more than welcome to. If not, that's fine. Don't comment. Don't say anything. If you don't agree with it, that's fine. You want to stick your head up your ass a little further, go for it. And I'm sorry, that's my point of view. If you want to stick your head in the sand and pretend everything is okay and everybody and all these government entities and all these biopharmaceutical people, they're all there to help you get back to normal, even though the science doesn't back one bit of this bullshit. If you want to stick your head up that fucking governmental ass, fine. Keep your goddamn opinions to yourself, because that's what we're being told too.
So if they're saying this Pfizer vaccine has been FDA approved, does that then relegate them back to having litigation against them, or are they still underneath the Emergency Authorization Act where they don't have to take on litigation?
I believe he got the vaccination days before it was FDA approved and ended up getting sick. He was sick for a couple of weeks, like just bad sick, couldn't keep anything down, couldn't eat.
And he had no symptoms prior. He had no pre-existing conditions.
And here's the thing. Okay, let me paint this little bit of this picture here for you. He was on the slower side mentally, right?
Okay.
However you want to call it.
Lower end of the spectrum, maybe. Well, I mean, autistic
there was
or anything
a,
like that.
There was a physical accident when he was a baby.
Oh, okay.
Right? He knew how to speak. He knew how to think, for the most part. Couldn't really read or write that well, but a person,
absolutely,
a functional person. The messed up thing about it is he was surrounded by people who were pushing this vaccination. They pushed the fear of the virus, which made him scared, which made him think he had to do this. So before anybody even asked if he had any health conditions, it was, you're a great proponent. You're scared of the fucking virus. Let's stick this needle in you and be about your business, because that's what everybody needs to do.
So for somebody who may basically to be able to function in the world would need maybe some assistance, you know, assisted living maybe.
Right.
Instead of informing a person that may have difficulty understanding social norms and whatnot, they just go ahead and with him, you know, particularly they gave them fearful information and he just, you know, acquiesced right away because he didn't really have the ability to discern information for himself.
He was coerced by fear. That's exactly what happened here. That's exactly what happened. So it was unfortunate. It was a very horrible thing that happened. And I'm here trying to, you know, help my wife get through this difficult time. Which she lost her mom. Her other brother was murdered when he was 16 years old. She had one other brother. He just recently passed away. Her father's not in the best of health. And then that's it for her immediate family. She's sure she's got some cousins. One she talks to. That's it. So she's feeling this heavy abandonment, right? And I'm doing everything that I can. At the same time, I've got in the back of my mind, and I have all of this knowledge that you and I have gone over many times throughout this podcast of the things that we talk about on, especially this topic. This is like, what, our fourth or fifth update? Possibly?
I mean, it's in, we have to address it. We, you know, and as we get into some more of this information, there's no way not to address this because no one else seems to be addressing it as far as a coerced mass media, right? To get true information, and that goes to the suppression. Why, if you tell a coroner that he's going to lose his license because he writes up a you know cause of death, then you're suppressing information that could, like, so even with the medication that we aren't, you know, exactly proponents for on TV right now, at least they have side effects listed.
Right.
They're like, you know, ask your doctor, you know, if you have complications of blah, 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 you know, heart disease, you know, diabetes, you know, whatever. But at least there's a list. Now, let me ask you out there, why is that specific list of conditions that might affect the medication on there? It's because in trials prior to, people who had those conditions had a problem with the medication that they're advertising at that moment. And that's the step that we're missing here with this vaccine. They're suppressing the information of the people who have some of these other ailments that may counteract the vaccine or therapy. And if there are side effects, major side effects, and maybe even deaths, if that information is being suppressed, then that's never going to be filtered up and say, okay, well, hey, yeah, the vaccine's safe for most people, but somebody who might have, you know, diabetes, or somebody who might have a history of, right. of heart issues, right. or somebody who might have whatever, don't take the vaccine or don't take this therapy because it's going to counteract with some other medication. Like if you take Xanax or you take some other medication, maybe it might interfere with SSRIs, maybe NAIDs. None of that information is getting out there because everything is, you're being told, if you, as a coroner, tell the true cause of death, you might cause people to be hesitant about getting the vaccination. So that suppression in of itself is just as damaging as telling everybody the vaccine's safe.
Right, and I think the biggest and the biggest problem here is, once again, we're told to follow the science. We follow the science. Our science contradicts your narrative. And people, the idea is not to push the science. The idea, the popular idea, the trendy idea right now by your government and your media is to push the narrative, not the science.
Well, their narrative is contradictory to their narrative 8 months ago.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people out there, you might have seen these videos float around, but they've had Biden, Harris, Pelosi all make comments that they would not take the vaccine. They've made comments that it's not safe. And Kamala Harris has a famous video out there, right?
Yeah, they made comments that it was unconstitutional to force a vaccination.
And force mandates of masks.
Right.
What's the difference? What's the difference between those statements from those same people that made those claims from then to now? Mario?
I believe it's power.
Right. They originally made those statements when Trump was in power. But guess who's in power now? So now everything's safe underneath their umbrella.
Right.
So the question is, everybody, you have to ask yourself, is this a COVID vaccine issue, or is this a bipartisan, or not a bipartisan, but is this a political issue?
Well, it's by far a political issue.
Because they don't care about the efficacy of the vaccine. They only care that they're the ones distributing the vaccine.
And make no mistake, everybody, we're expendable. We've said it many, many times. They don't give a shit about us. They don't give a shit about our children. They don't care about any of us. There's so many people out there who go, oh, how could you think so horribly about people? Well, really, these are horrible, horrible people.
And maybe they didn't start out that way, but here's what happens. Power corrupts. Absolutely. They become isolated. These right. people are no longer the people that they thought they were when they were younger. Now they're in their white castles up on the, mm-hmm. you know, mountainside, and they're isolated. A lot of these people don't even have any idea how their constituents are living back home.
Well, then
they're living in the ivory towers.
And it trickles down, right? It trickles down, and the next thing you know, you've got, you know, the media that follows that umbrella, that particular umbrella narrative, right?
Yeah.
So then you got jackasses like Jimmy Kimmel, which, by the way, I don't respect even a fucking inkling. Jimmy Kimmel can suck the fart out of my butt.
And it's a shame because there was a time where he was alternative.
He was alternative.
And pushed it back.
And now he's not. He's just another corporate dick, right?
Yeah.
Did you happen to see the statement he made on hospitals treating people who weren't vaccinated? Did you see that?
Yes.
Disgusting.
And this comes from a guy who just, what was it, 12 months ago, 18 months ago, had a child who had a heart condition or a very traumatic heart issue and was calling for help to his viewers to, you know, bring awareness to this issue. And now he's 180.
That's because he's a stupid bitch.
Dr. Fauci said that if hospitals get any more overcrowded, they're going to have to make some very tough choices about who gets an ICU bed. I don't, that choice doesn't seem so tough to me. Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy.
Well, the affliction affected him personally, and that's the only way these people care about anything, is if it affects them and their immediate family.
Something else I want to bring to the attention of the listeners right now while we're going on this back and forth, and I'm ranting like a nutcase. And before I do that, let me ask everybody this, okay? Stop and think for yourselves, because I'm not trying to create chaos here, right? Oh, you know what? Something that just popped in my mind. There was a video you had sent me, and I thought was a fantastic video. It's from the Academy of Ideas, and it's called How to Escape from a Sick Society. And Jeffrey, you sent this to me, and it was one of those times where I don't get to, you know, listen to a lot of the videos you sent me from time to time. I'm a very busy person. I do the best that I can. This video really spoke to me as I'm going through all these things. And one of the topics of this video is everybody, to give an example, who had fallen under a tyranny regime was always looking for someone to get them out before it got too bad, before it was too late. And they were always looking. And as much as they were looking, it should have been them trying to get themselves out. Now, I'm not trying to rally anybody here. And if I can find that clip, which I'm going to place it here. I have that clip.
Alexander Solzhenitsyn, reflecting on the Soviet Union's descent into totalitarian rule in the mid-20th century and all the things that could have been done to prevent it, wrote the following. If we didn't love freedom enough, and even more, we had no awareness of the real situation. We hurried to submit. We submitted with pleasure. We purely and simply deserved everything that happened afterward. The 20th century clearly shows that totalitarianism is not a solution to any problem, but a social ill of the most horrific kind. More innocent men, women, and children were killed by the totalitarian regimes of the 20th century than by natural disasters, pandemics, or even the two world wars. If, therefore, we are unfortunate enough to be living in a world flirting with the sickness of totalitarianism, what can we do to escape? In this video, relying on the insights of those who studied and lived under totalitarian rule, we are going to explore what is called the forward escape from the control of the cruel and twisted minds of would-be totalitarians. To understand what this form of escape entails, we will contrast it with two other ways to escape from the hardships of living through an attempted totalitarian takeover: the backward escape and the physical escape. The backward escape entails dulling one's awareness of the reality and precariousness of one's situation through the use of drugs and alcohol, or by zoning out in front of screens for hours on end. The backward escape can provide short-term relief to feelings of anxiety, depression, and boredom, but the more one relies on such activities, the more one's mental health deteriorates. Furthermore, the backward escape does nothing to prevent the rise of totalitarianism, as it promotes docility, passivity, and apathy, all traits that make people more manipulable and controllable, or as Dr. Joost Mierlo explained in his book on totalitarianism, the cult of passivity and so-called relaxation is one of the most dangerous developments of our times. Essentially, it represents a camouflage pattern, the double wish not to see the dangers and challenges of life and not to be seen. Silent, lonely relaxation with alcohol, sweets, or the television screen may soothe the mind into a passivity that may gradually make it vulnerable to the seductive ideology of some feared enemy. Denying the danger of totalitarianism through passivity may gradually surrender to its blandishments those who were initially afraid of it. An alternative to the backward escape is the physical escape, which is to relocate to a place that offers more freedom. This form of escape has many benefits, for given that we have one chance at life, why not live somewhere absent the stifling control of corrupt and power-hungry politicians and bureaucrats? But there are problems with this form of escape. Firstly, for many people, it is not practical to pack up and move to a new land. Furthermore, if we live at a time when the rise of tyranny is a global phenomenon, the practicality of the physical escape diminishes further, as the sought-after pockets of freedom are few and far between. What is more, if totalitarianism is permitted to proliferate, the places that are free now may not remain so for long. Running away, like escaping backward, is not the ideal solution to the rise of totalitarianism. Instead, the solution is to escape forward into a new and better reality. What does the forward escape entail? To answer this question, we need to dispel with the notion that totalitarianism can be defeated through compliance. Many people cede to the commands of would-be totalitarians because they believe that so doing is the quickest means to return to some semblance of normality. But this is a cowardly and ignorant way to act. For compliance only emboldens totalitarian regimes, a point emphasized by the political philosopher Hannah Arendt in her book The Origins of Totalitarianism. The most characteristic aspect of totalitarian terror is that it is let loose when all organized opposition has died down and the totalitarian ruler knows that he no longer need be afraid. Stalin started his gigantic purges not in 1928 when he conceded, "We have internal enemies," but in 1934 when all former opponents had confessed their errors, and Stalin himself at the 17th Party Congress declared, "There is nothing more to prove and, it seems, no one to fight." Compliance is the food that feeds totalitarians. Compliance is not, and never will be, the path back to some form of normality. Rather, non-compliance and civil disobedience are essential to counter the rise of totalitarian rule. But in addition to resistance, a forward escape into a reality absent the sickness of totalitarian rule requires the construction of a parallel society. A parallel society serves two main purposes. It offers pockets of freedom to those rejected by the totalitarian system or who refuse to participate in it, and it forms the foundation for a new society that can grow out of the ashes of the destruction wrought by the totalitarians. Or as Václav Havel, a dissident under the communist rule of Czechoslovakia, explains in his book The Power of the Powerless. When those who have decided to live within the truth have been denied any direct influence on the existing social structures, not to mention the opportunity to participate in them, and when these people begin to create what I have called the independent life of society, this independent life begins, of itself, to become structured in a certain way. These parallel structures do not grow out of a theoretical vision of systemic change. There are no political sects involved, but from the aims of life and the authentic needs of real people. There are innumerable ways to contribute to the construction of a parallel society. One can build technologies that promote freedom, or agoristic economic institutions that further voluntary exchange. One can run a business that resists implementing unjust laws or mandates, or one can create media or educational institutions that counter the lies and propaganda of the state. Or one can create music, literature, or artwork that counters the staleness of totalitarian culture. The parallel society is a decentralized and voluntary alternative to the centralized and coercive control of the totalitarian society, and as Havel explains, one of the most important tasks the dissident movements have set themselves is to support and develop parallel social structures. What else are those initial attempts at social self-organization than the efforts of a certain part of society to rid itself of the self-sustaining aspects of totalitarianism and, thus, to extricate itself radically from its involvement in the totalitarian system? And as he explains further, it would be quite wrong to understand the parallel structures and the parallel society as a retreat into a ghetto and as an act of isolation, addressing itself only to the welfare of those who had decided on such a course. The ultimate phase of this process is the situation in which the official structures simply begin withering away and dying off, to be replaced by new structures that have evolved from below and are put together in a fundamentally different way. The construction of a parallel society, however, is not merely a long-term solution to totalitarian destruction, but also serves to counter the rise of totalitarian rule. For the act of building parallel social structures reveals that not everyone will just roll over and submit to total state control. And as was noted by Hannah Arendt, this helps keep the would-be totalitarians in check. This process also counters the social atomization that comes with totalitarian rule by promoting voluntary communal bonds between those who cherish freedom. And as an added benefit for those who partake in this process, it can serve as a healthy vehicle to escape the day-to-day feelings of anxiety, boredom, and depression that accompany living in a world teetering with a descent into totalitarianism. For if we pick a goal to help in the construction of the parallel society and work towards it in a disciplined and focused manner, we give our life more meaning and we open up the possibility of attaining the peak experiential states of flow and rush. Flow is an optimal state of consciousness in which attention is so narrowly focused on an activity that a sense of time fades, along with the troubles and concerns of day-to-day life. Rausch, on the other hand, is the word Nietzsche used for a peak cognitive state similar to flow. What is essential in Rausch, wrote Nietzsche, is the feeling of increased strength and fullness. Rausch is an emergent byproduct of focused attempts to effectuate real-world change. And when in Rausch, as in flow, we perform at our best. Or as John Richardson explains in Nietzsche's New Darwinism, in Rausch, the organism feels its capacities at a peak and takes pleasure in this heightened potency. These capacities are drives to work on the world. And in Rausch, one feels oneself overfull with them, bursting to change things to fit oneself. Both flow and Rausch are healthy ways to escape from the day-to-day miseries of living in a sick and corrupted society. Unlike the numbing experiential zones of the backward escape which weaken us in body and mind, flow and Rausch strengthen us and increase our feelings of power. The more people who experience flow and Rausch, the harder it is for those in power to herd a populace into the chains of totalitarian servitude. And as Alexander Solzhenitsyn warned, no weapons, no matter how powerful, can help the West until it overcomes its loss of willpower. To attempt the forward escape by contributing to the creation of a parallel society and in the process attaining the states of flow and Rausch comes with risks, and success is not guaranteed, but it is a far better option than merely sitting passively by just hoping things will get better. Hope, in reality, claimed Nietzsche, is the worst of all evils because it prolongs the torments of man. In place of mere hope, courageous action from as many people as possible is needed to prevent the rise of totalitarian rule. And the sooner people act in defiance of would-be totalitarians, the greater the chance of success. For the mistake that was made over and over again in the totalitarian countries of the 20th century was that people didn't act soon enough. Milton Mayer, in his book They Thought They Were Free, interviews an individual who lived through Hitler's rule, and his words should serve as a warning for those who live in a world at risk of being engulfed by the life-destroying machinery of totalitarian rule. You wait for one great shocking occasion, thinking that others, when such a shock comes, will join with you in resisting somehow, but the one great shocking occasion, when tens or hundreds of thousands will join with you, never comes. If the last and worst act of the whole regime had come immediately after the first and smallest, thousands, yes, millions, would have been sufficiently shocked. But of course, this isn't the way it happens. In between comes all the hundreds of little steps, some of them imperceptible, each of them preparing you not to be shocked by the next. And one day, too late, your principles, if you were ever sensible of them, all rush in upon you. And you see that everything has changed. Now you live in a world of hate and fear, and the people who hate and fear do not even know it themselves. When everyone is transformed, no one is transformed.
Okay, that was a decent-sized clip, right? And I'm But I'm not trying to rally anybody here. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to be that guy. But if there was ever a time for anybody to be outspoken, now is the time. When these mandates are coming down and we're seeing New York requiring vaccination papers, which not too long ago I seen a video of somebody, I'm not telling people to do this. There was a barista at this restaurant and these people from Texas started a fist fight with this person because she asked to see their vaccination papers. That doesn't help anybody. It doesn't. But there's got to be a way to stop this. This is not okay. Mandating vaccinations and mandating masks and mandating requirements for to see papers. Show me your papers. This isn't fucking Nazi-occupied Germany. It sure as shit looks like it. But that's not what this is. And this is going to continue to happen until everybody begins to say enough. There, we have got to stop this now before it is too late. And if a lot of this doesn't make sense to you, let us help it make some sense to you. We're talking about a virus that we were told to follow the science. The lab leak theory is a horrible theory. There's no way. We were demonized.
Zoological.
We were demonized for thinking that way, right?
Yeah, it was misinformation whenever we were saying.
The very first episode of this fucking podcast, and I know I'm dropping a lot of F-bombs here, but the very first episode of this fucking podcast was about COVID, because when we started the podcast, I knew at the height of COVID, what else do you talk about? You can't talk about anything else. You got to talk about what's happening, especially a pandemic worldwide. So we did that. And the information that I brought, that I had, all leaned toward the lab leak theory. And it was that time nobody wanted to hear it. We fast forward to, the past 2-3 months? We learn of gain of function. We learn of a Wuhan lab, a virology. Thank you, John Stewart, because nobody else would fucking listen to us or anyone else. It took somebody from the left to say, hey, you know what? Maybe there's some bullshit here, to actually give validity to those who were saying, yes, it's all bullshit. So now maybe more and more people will look into it and think. But then, you know, you have some of those other people that go, what difference does it make? Who cares where it came from? Well, this is why. Because it was created. Because now it seems that we're learning more from it. Right, Jeffro?
Well, I know where you're going with this, but before we go there, the reason why it's important is because they're using this as a reason to fund more gain of function. I can't remember the exact scientific coalition, but there's a scientific coalition that's looking for $1 billion because they're saying we're trying to prevent something like COVID to happen again in the future. And Fauci's the leader of this coalition. Yeah. They're saying we want more money so we can do more gain of function research.
Almost like
so,
a Capitol Police thing.
Right. So if the reason why, to answer your question to that immediate point, the reason why it's important, if it's zoological or if it's lab leak, is because if it's lab leak, it was created in a lab. That's the very thing that created the pandemic. So why would we fund research that would imitate the exact thing that created the virus now?
Pouring gasoline on a fire, right?
Right. So that's why it's important, because by finding out how the virus got, you know, well, got released, how it was...
No, it got released. Make no mistake about it. There, can anybody really argue that at this point that it's been lab leaked? I don't think anybody can actually argue. You can try
lab
to argue
lab leak or lab escaped, maybe.
You could try. Well,
it doesn't really matter either way, right?
Right. You could try to argue it, but whatever you have to combat in that argument is going to fall very, very, very short.
Right. But no, that was my whole point.
And I think that the next question is what were the intentions? Why did you create this virus? What was the purpose? I don't know. To me, it seems like I'm hearing from more and more people, and even as this was going on, I fell under one of those people that was thinking, okay, this had to have been a lab leak, okay? Maybe accidental. Looking further into it. Oh, gain of function. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, there's a lab there. Okay, definitely lab leak.
Right.
Okay. Why were you doing it? Why? And then all of a sudden now, people who were speaking to me, and I hear different people, and I know it sounds crazy. Oh, population control. Population control. Fauci, Gates, all these different entities are the same damn people, just like I said. And the meme that we shared, these are the same people who created the virus. These are the same people who created the vaccination. These are the same people who believe that this planet is overpopulated.
And which country do we know for sure tried to manipulate their own population? Through the one child doctrine, saying that you can only have one child.
Which country is that, Jeffro?
That would be China. And where is it speculated that this possibly originated from?
Is it really speculation at this point?
I'm just trying to lay the breadcrumbs.
China seems to be preparing for war, and several Western nations are allying with them, including Canada, who is now officially rolling out the Chinese social credit score for Canadian businesses. China has recently banned English exams, limited video game use, and erased several pop stars from history. In an attempt to filter out Western culture, China is cracking down on effeminate men while assembling thousands of ships and millions of troops for war with Taiwan. Just last year, half of the CCP's nuclear scientists mysteriously quit on the same day for personal reasons. And last month, the main news outlet for the CCP published an article blaming the U.S. for biological warfare, blaming capitalism for social degeneracy, and calling for a new communist revolution. The CCP is preparing for war, and several world leaders are working with them. Perhaps this is what the dozens of ghost cities in China are for, all now empty, ready to house hundreds of thousands of people, including a city that looks like France. Is this for Macron and his fellow traitors to someday feel at home? Maybe. But Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is all in with the communist Chinese, and his government has announced on a government website the Chinese social credit score system, how businesses can prepare. It outlines the penalties that Canadians have to look forward to, which include public blaming and shaming and being blacklisted. The CCP is coming to Canada. With Trudeau, Canada has become the most willing subject of the CCP, with Australia in second place and the rest of the Western world fighting for third. Who will be left to stand up for freedom?
So it's cool. It's ironic that that's the case, is it not?
Not only is it ironic, we're about to get into some information for everybody and all the listeners out there that they may not know that you had found and shared with me that kind of just, you know, I don't want to say knocked me on my ass, but at the same time, there was, what was it, 2019, I believe?
Right. This said that a little bit. The thing that didn't knock me on my ass wasn't the information like you said, but the fact that it took this long for us to find this information, and right, the fact that this information isn't plastered everywhere and you have to go and find this information in alternative news sources. So, you know, as an introduction to what we're discussing here, if we go back and review kind of what we're told the narrative is with the how this vaccine or how not the vaccine, sorry, how the
virus
kind of evolved, was we were told there was something that happened in the end of November of 2019, right? Something happened to where
in Wuhan,
one of the wives of one of the scientists got sick, and you know, lost their life.
The first thing we were told that there was some bats from a cave that come into a fish market. And Do you remember that?
Right.
That's what we were told. And even that, you know, I followed up on that in the first podcast, and I said, you know, these are disgusting, you know,
but markets. Basically, the genesis of my point is the fact that it showed up. We were told it showed up end of November, and then somehow, some way, some businessmen.
Well, mind you also, that if that were the case, you think that the first people to be infected, especially since it's an aerosol virus. Right?
Well, they didn't know it was an aerosol virus at the time.
Well, I'm saying now. Right? You would think that it would be somebody from that market, from that wet market, somebody in that vicinity who would be, you know, maybe 1, 2, 3, 4 people as quickly and rapidly as it spreads, you know, as much as the fear is, goes along with it, that it would be those people that got sick, right?
Right.
No, it actually happened to be somebody from the Wuhan virology lab that got sick first.
Right. But this whole set of circumstances happened at the end of November, you know, and then China was dealing with it in December. And then somehow there was, I believe there was a businessman that had business there, came back to the Rochelle, New York area, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe it was.
And kind of spread it there. And then there was also prior to that, like a week prior to that, there was a family member. A Chinese family member that had family in Washington.
Washington, yeah.
And then that's kind of how it kind of progenerated, or not progenerated, but kind of evolved and started blossoming there. But basically, right around December, January, it kind of creeped its way into America and then started spreading and got full bloom in February. That was...
Right, and Cuomo was out there killing people and molesting people.
Yeah. But that's sort of the overarching narrative that everybody has based a lot of their information off of. Well, that is...
So we were told that, you know, China started to see these things happening, you know, what was it? Was it November?
November. They were saying November, December.
Because I remember it was November 2019. I was at Disney World with my wife, okay? Yes, I was in the heart of the evil company, Disney. But we have a good time there, whatever. We go. It was just she and I. We come back, and this was... we come back for Thanksgiving, and we have Thanksgiving here, and then we go about our business, whatever, you know. My daughter, who was on one of the previous podcasts, she's actually studying to be a psychologist. She was on the,
The social media?
Social rot is what we called it. Social rot. That episode. So my daughter, Abby, we come home and, you know, Christmas comes and goes. And I believe it was January happened. January happened. It happens every year. January comes around and she gets ill. Like, really, really sick. And she says, well, I can't taste anything. I'm thinking, okay, you're sick, right? You don't feel well. And then February rolls around, we learn that the virus comes here, right? It around February it actually came here, February, January?
Right.
And I looked at you and I said, Jeffro, what if Abby had it? And you said, no way, there's no way. Because, you know, that happened the very same time, the first time we got reports of this here. There's no way.
Right. And I actually have to say that I was pretty adamant about that.
Well, it doesn't matter.
So, yeah.
Doesn't matter. But that's...
I was like, there's no way that's possible.
Okay. So, we'll use that, okay? That's a perfect example, right? When you learn something, you have got to be open to the possibilities, right?
Right. And let's...
And we both have to do
personal experience, not only using that as a, you know, personal experience with Abby, but we also have a... close personal friend that also had 2 children.
Yes.
Extremely sick. One, you know, 18, 19 year old, and then a younger child. I don't want to disclose too much, but a younger child around the age of 12 who was also extremely sick and hospitalized. And
same type of symptoms.
Same symptoms and everything. And at the time, my mother was extremely sick. She had gotten the flu vaccine because my brother was expecting a newborn, and sometimes grandparents are asked to get, you know,
right,
you know, shots to make sure that, you know, they're safe around newborns. So she found herself extremely sick. She thought it was from the flu vaccine. And she, I mean, she had a hard time with it. She had all these same ailments, all these same symptoms that we have,
right?
You know, discussed, and she was sick for about 6 weeks.
So where are we going with this, everyone? What are we about to tell you that you may not know? Maybe you do know. Highly likely that many people know this because you can't speak of it. You're not allowed to. So
are we about to go to jail?
Take me to jail. I don't give
a
shit.
We're about to go to Facebook jail.
Listen, my kids are grown. And here's the thing. At this point, and I've said it so many times, give me liberty or give me death. I've said that so many times. And yeah, maybe I am one of those constitutionalist type of people that, you know, you can't shut me up because I won't shut up.
Cuff him, Zuckerberg.
Yeah, cuff him, Zuckerberg. Whatever. Fuck you, Zuckerberg. You know what?
Go back to Epstein Island.
I don't give a shit about Zuckerberg. Yeah, Epstein. I don't give a shit about Zuckerberg. I don't give a shit about Biden. I don't give a shit about Harris. I don't give a shit about Pelosi. I don't give a shit about any politician. As far as I'm concerned, they can all kiss my ass. I don't give a fuck about any one of those governmental entities. And furthermore, I don't give a fuck about any one of the biopharmaceutical entities or anybody else like that. This podcast has been around for a while. You want me? Come and fucking get me. Give me liberty or give me death. We found out. I found out. You found out. What, Jeff Rowe? Drop it on us. Just, I'm going to let you do it. You drop it on us.
Okay. So, in September of 2019, there was an event in China. And this event was called the Military Games, which is...
Okay, when was this again?
September. September of 2019.
Of 2019.
Right.
Okay. And in China.
Right. And it's a several-week event, very similar to, like, the Olympics. And they hold events just like the Olympics, right? But for military personnel only.
And it's called the Military
Games. It's called the Military Games. I think this is something that Prince Henry from England and a couple, like, I think it was, I could be mistaken here, but Gary Sinise, a couple other people in America kind of got together and wanted to, you know, the goal of the Military Games is to, you know, help soldiers who have issues with, you know, PTSD and, right, you know, missing, you know, arms and whatnot. And just, you know, general, give them recognition, right? And obstacle courses and whatnot, medals, whatnot. And initially, I think the first couple years, it was just in America, in the Orlando area, like the Walt Disney area. And then I think last year they piggybacked off of Brazil, or 2 years ago, which would have been 18. And then in 2019, China hosted. China hosted the Military Games in September of 2019. Guess who the host city was?
Do tell.
Wuhan, China.
So you're telling me Wuhan, China hosted military games in 2019?
In September.
In September of 2019. Okay, so what does this mean?
It's interesting. Reflective, there's been several athletes. After everything that has gone on in the past 18, 20 months, we know the pandemic occurred. Mm-hmm. Some journalists, I believe it was this Joe Rogan or Josh Rogan from the Washington Post, came up with this information. And this is also the same Josh Rogan that came up with the, you know, information for the lab leak. So this guy's been doing yeoman's work.
He's doing his research.
Yeah, he's doing his research. He interviewed a Canadian athlete.
He's not dead yet, is he?
No, I don't think so. And... He interviewed a Canadian athlete, and in doing so, asking some of these questions, he asked the athlete, you know, hey, did you kind of remember anything, notice anything a little bit different when you guys were over there in China? And, you know, the Canadian athlete and some of the other interviewed said, yeah, you know, it was strange for a host city of a major event. It seemed like there was a lot of shut-ins. It seemed like there was a lot of the streets were kind of empty. There weren't a whole lot of celebrations. There weren't a whole lot of, like, places to go, almost as if the city kind of was in a shutdown mode. And then they elaborated. They said what else was interesting was there was actually quite a few athletes that were suffering from some ailments that we've become quite familiar with. And even so much so that when the Canadian athletes came back from Wuhan, China, back to Canada, I guess it was a multiple hour flight, 15, 16, whatever it was.
Because we're talking about military games of different countries.
Yeah, all these.
All, you know, coming together.
Coming together, right.
To Wuhan, again,
just
China.
Like the Olympics, right?
In September 2019.
Yeah, so a lot of countries had representatives.
Right.
Okay. And on this flight back, and I'm just paraphrasing here, he said there was upwards, I think he said 50, 60 athletes that were quarantined in the back of the plane because they were suffering from, you know, diarrhea and, you know, again, all the ailments, and it was extremely sick, and they had to separate them from the rest of the flight. So when kind of projecting back and hearing that, it seems really strange that they were in the same location of this possible leak in China, and they had all these symptoms that mirror COVID, and they come back at the end of the middle of September, end of September, possibly beginning of November. And these are, you know, they're military personnel, but they're still personnel, right? I mean, they have homes and families they come back to. And this is just the one athlete, I believe, that was in the report, was the Canadian athlete. But we're talking about American athletes. We're talking about, you know, athletes from Europe, Italy, Australia. So
the Biden administration is facing pressure to conduct a full investigation into the origins of COVID-19 and to declassify intelligence related to one place suspected of playing a role in its spread, the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The top Republican on the House Intelligence Committee sent a letter to President Biden and his Director of National Intelligence demanding a government-wide investigation into all the possible ways the virus could have spread.
Well, what we've been working on is just trying to piece together all the evidence we possibly have to try to determine, did this come from the Wuhan lab? Did it come from somewhere else? There's clearly a lot of questions that involved a lot of circumstantial evidence. We have a lot of that indicate that this originated in a lab.
Republicans have also focused in on whether the National Institute of Health contributed funding to viral research at the Wuhan lab, where some believe COVID originated. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease expert, has denied that any U.S. funding went to that kind of research at the lab. And many scientists stand behind the theory that the virus jumped from an animal to a human in China sometime during late 2019. But uncertainty still surrounds the beginnings of the pandemic, in large part because China has not cooperated fully with international investigators. Secretary of State Tony Blinken said last week that he was not satisfied with the World Health Organization's existing investigation of where COVID-19 came from. The former CDC director under Trump, Robert Redfield, made waves earlier this spring when he revealed that he believes the virus did come from a leak in the Wuhan lab. He became one of the highest profile experts to back that view, after many have dismissed it.
Just to guess, this virus started transmitting somewhere in September, October in Wuhan.
September, October.
That's my own view. It's an only opinion. I'm allowed to have opinions now. You know, I am of the point of view that I still think the most likely etiology of this pathogen in Wuhan was from a laboratory, escaped. The other people don't believe that. That's fine. Science will eventually figure it out.
Republicans on Capitol Hill have tried repeatedly to get the Biden administration to publish what it knows about conditions at the Wuhan lab leading up to the virus's spread. So far to no avail.
There was about 284 Americans, athletes, and staff that participated. There was in total 9,000 athletes from 100 countries that came to Wuhan in October. So this would have been 2 months before the Chinese government recognized that they had an outbreak. Two critical months that could have helped us understand this disease, shut down travel earlier, stop the spread, and ultimately save potentially millions of lives. And now what we know is that certain athletes from countries like Germany, Italy, and France have reported getting sick after the games, have reported flu-like or COVID-like symptoms after the games. And so what I'm asking the Pentagon to do is talk to our athletes, talk to the Americans that were there in Wuhan. Did they get sick? Did they experience symptoms? Did we test them? Do we know anything about their medical history so that we can establish a timeline here? Establishing a timeline is critical to understanding where this came from and critical to getting past what I believe to be a systematic cover-up by the Chinese Communist Party. which includes an aggressive propaganda campaign designed in part to blame our military, the U.S. Army, for spreading this disease. We can't accept that. The communists are lying to us, they're gaslighting us, and they're doing it in many cases with the complicity of the mainstream media.
They say the White House needs to get to the bottom of how the pandemic started so the U.S. can be more prepared for future ones.
Yeah. All right, Sagar, what are you looking at?
Well, I know some of you are sick of hearing me talk about the lab leak hypothesis. So I will promise you at the top, everything in this monologue is brand new information that, if you're interested in the origins of coronavirus, is vital to your understanding. As usual, absent the great Josh Rogan at the Washington Post, this has been completely ignored by the mainstream media. So the new information concerning the circumstances of the origins of COVID comes from a new addendum by the House Foreign Affairs Committee, which has reviewed classified intelligence and included key new facts to our understanding of the timeline. The most stunning headline that comes from the report is this sentence, quote, "The preponderance of evidence suggests SARS-CoV-2 was accidentally released from a Wuhan Institute of Virology laboratory sometime prior to September 12, 2019. That's right. 2 months before reports indicate that researchers at the lab itself fell so sick they required hospitalization. Now, frankly, this statement stunned me, but it actually makes complete sense when they describe the cover-up and a new set of key facts. The report details how between 2 and 3 a.m. local time in Wuhan, China, the Wuhan Institute of Virology's online public database of samples and virus sequences was taken down mysteriously. That database contained key information about each sample in the lab, including what type of animal was collected, where it was collected, whether a virus was successfully isolated, and more. Now get this. To date, the database has not yet been put back online. The Chinese's only explanation in January of 2021 is the database was taken down for cyber attacks related to the pandemic, but it was taken down in September, so that doesn't make any sense. Right around this time, geospatial analysis from Harvard and Boston University found that the parking lot volume of all the hospitals in Wuhan had the highest daily volume of cars in the parking lot in September and October of 2019, far before the first reported cases of COVID. Now, that is along with a massive spike in search terms on the Chinese version of Google known as Baidu for the terms cough and diarrhea during those corresponding months. The third stunning data point revealed by the committee concerns the 2019 Military World Games. It was held in Wuhan on October 18th, 2019. The games are basically the Olympics, but for athletes in the military. There were 9,300 athletes with 109 countries that were represented there. Now, it wasn't noticed at the time, but several athletes at the games came down with what we now recognize as COVID-19 symptoms. The craziest part is this. The athletes remember now that Wuhan looked really weird at the time. One says he got his temperature taken at the airport. They also describe in October that the city of 15 million people looked like it was on lockdown. One Canadian athlete described this, quote, "I got very sick 12 days after we arrived. Fever, chills, vomiting, insomnia. On our flight to come home, 60 Canadian athletes on the flight were put in isolation at the back of the plane for the 12-hour flight. We were sick with symptoms ranging from coughs to diarrhea and in between." Later analysis shows that Italy, Brazil, Sweden, and France says that they had patients within their borders who had COVID antibodies from before November 2019. All four countries had representatives at the games. All of the patients that had tested never left the country, indicating a common source of community spread within those countries that comes from a single point of origin. That's the circumstantial evidence. You can draw from it what you will. It seems pretty clear to me, personally. But the report doesn't stop there. It also delves into the cover-up on this side of the Pacific. It brings us to a familiar character, Dr. Peter Daszak of EcoHealth Alliance, who is the one who facilitated grant money from Dr. Fauci to the actual Wuhan lab. Daszak's relationship within the Wuhan lab and its top scientists goes all the way back to 2005, where the pair would go into bat caves to collect samples together. Now, the new report uncovers evidence that shows Daszak likely at the tip of the spear of a Chinese influence campaign in February of 2020. he organized a letter with scientific colleagues condemning, quote, conspiracy theories about the origins of the coronavirus. But what we now know is that Daszak organized that letter specifically at the behest of his former colleagues at the Wuhan lab, who asked him for help in dismissing the theory. Now, I encourage you all to go and read this report for yourselves. The link will be down there in the description. But the most important part to me is this. Show me an iota of evidence on the other side for the natural origin hypothesis, which comes even close to everything I just laid out here. Which bat? How did it fly so far? Who was patient zero? Why would the Chinese government lie about this natural origin virus, but not the one that leaked from a lab? The preponderance of evidence points in a single direction, that the coronavirus leaked from the Wuhan lab sometime in late 2019. As we have stated repeatedly here, that doesn't just indict the Chinese government, it indicts our own for its complicity, and it indicts many of the so-called heroes of the pandemic, like Dr. Fauci. But most importantly, it indicts us all. Let's be honest. Trump and the media tore us apart during the pandemic. Masks, social distancing, restrictions, it all became part of a culture war instead of something we were collectively trying to get through together. Both Trump and the media were so noxious and hateful towards each other that millions retreated into their corners to fight rather than to get through something. And of course, we can't agree on the facts when we see two different realities. The real tragedy is, I already know this monologue won't make much of a difference. I know most people who watch MSNBC or CNN will never care about the facts. They will think we're all racist for even pointing this out. And I know many right-wingers who purport to care, but don't actually. They just really hate Fauci. That's the real tragedy of the current media environment. The pandemic cost us $6 trillion globally. It killed millions of people. Hundreds of thousands of Americans are dead. It basically stopped life for nearly 18 months straight. Getting to the bottom of it is vitally important for mankind, so we can avoid any of this in the future. And that was really my goal with this thing.
Whenever I heard this information, I was dumbfounded because the first thing that came to my mind was, what if this thing escaped China weeks, if not months, prior to what we're being told?
Which, I mean, definitely seems that way, right? I mean, if you're connecting the dots here, why not? And furthermore, I could even go on the idea of what if it didn't happen as an accident? What if?
And that's the thing. That's the scary thing, isn't it? Because you have military personnel.
We're talking biological warfare on the world.
Right. And it may be the reason why they don't want to even approach the subject matter is because it would be something against the Geneva Convention and it would be an act of war, right?
Call it for what it is.
I mean, would it not?
If that's what it is,
we're probably going to get completely suppressed here.
Why aren't people taking action then? We look to our leaders of our countries to do these things for us. We shouldn't be doing it for them. They should be asking the questions. They should be looking and trying to figure out where this came from.
Why we employ them. They're supposed to be our representatives. They're supposed
to work for us, but they make no mistake of it. As Joe Biden so put, we the people means us, the government.
We the people. Well, it's time to remember that we the people are the government.
Excuse me?
Yeah, right.
Pretty fucking shocking if you haven't heard that before. It's horrible. We the people means we the people.
Freudian slip, I guess, huh?
Yeah. And not his feeble-minded dumb ass. Okay? Because that is not what we the people mean.
Saying it out in plain sight. They're not trying to even hide it anymore.
No, they're not trying to hide it anymore.
I know we get stuck in the conspiracy side of things, but how much of this can we look away and not even paying attention to?
Well, and here's the thing. Where did we pull this out of our ass? No, we didn't pull it out of our ass. We heard it from a show that you're always paying attention to. I try to from time to time. You're better at it than I am.
I'm an avid fan of...
He's an avid, which is good. And we posted a lot of their stuff on our podcast before. Crystal and...
Sager.
Breaking Points. That's where we got the information from. And for whatever reason, you this information isn't out there.
Why is this not plastered on CNN? This should be headline news.
It should be everywhere.
But it's not. You have to dig for it. You have to go on a subscription-based YouTube channel.
Furthermore, if you mention the idea, it's immediately batted down.
It's disinformation.
Yeah. It's insanity.
It doesn't... The only thing that makes sense is they're doing it on purpose. Because to say it's just a series of follies...
What does this seem like?
There's no way.
To you and everybody else, because if nobody else is wondering this, if you're still with me and my crazy ass, and I know Alex Jones out there is right now, fucking tell him! Right? He's going to say it! I'm going to say it. Seems like an act of a new world order.
Or at least an attempt. And you know, publicly, I said this to you privately, but I also publicly want to say that, you know, I apologize to you, because going back to the origin of the fact that, hey, listen, I think maybe, you know, Abby might have had it, or, you know, some of these other people might have had it. And, you know, at the time you're like, Jeffro, you know, I'm hearing these symptoms and they're talking exactly about whatever. Maybe this thing had gotten over here sooner than they did. And right. I was basing my information off of the time. No, it didn't get here till February, Mario. And that was on the West Coast. I mean, it probably would have taken at least a couple of days to get to the middle, you know, the Midwest. There's no way anybody who came down with any serious illness prior to February could have, you know, come in contact with this. And I'm not saying that's what they had. Okay. All I'm saying is now there's new information. And I cannot be married to the old information that I have. Otherwise, I would be doing the same thing that everybody else does and just become entrenched in my ideology right. and not really think. So,
and on my end as well, okay, before you go a little further, on my end as well, this is how we work together and we don't let the divide divide us.
No.
This is how we grow together. Yes. When you say that and you say, Mario, I got to apologize. Don't apologize. Okay, I'm not looking for an apology. I'm looking for somebody to say, oh, well, you know what? You were right. Let's move on.
You were right. What else? More importantly, I was wrong or misinformed.
That is not important whatsoever.
Oh, to me it is.
important at all. And for anybody out there, when you're talking and you're having a conversation with somebody, please understand this. When you have a conversation with somebody and you're able to give validity to your point, or prove your point, you're not going to grow with the person you're talking to by going neener neener. I was right.
Right. Again, when you go into a conversation, I said this once before, or maybe a couple times. A conversation is whenever you interact with a person with the understanding that you are more than likely wrong or could be proven wrong. If you go into a conversation and your intent is to prove your point, then you're not entering into a conversation. You're entering into a preaching. Or you're speaking at, you're not really having a conversation. All you're trying to do is, you know, impose your will. It's not a conversation. A conversation is a back and forth rather than, you know, a dominance.
The hardest part about all this is I'm watching everywhere this. Everybody around the world, not just this country, but everywhere. And I'll say this, many countries are looking to us because this country was built on our freedoms and our constitution.
Well, we're also the brightest beacon right now. We have the most technology. We have the loudest speakers. We have the most, you know, cable television shows. So we dominate the airwaves. So we're going to be the ones picked up everywhere across this world.
And other countries and other people in countries are looking to us and wondering, what are the Americans going to do now? And I'm not trying to be, you know, the full of himself type of American. That's not what I'm trying to do here. But it is, call it for what it is. What we're seeing is a created virus that has killed people through mistreatment, has killed people through the virus itself. Yes, it has. I've never said the virus wasn't real. I've gotten it. the same people who created the virus are the same people who are creating the vaccination, which we are finding out is killing people. We don't know the long-term side effects. Nobody does. If they can tell you that you're safe and that it is safe, they're wrong. Should it be FDA approved? No. If you trust the FDA in the first point, then you need to do your research on the FDA and where their funding comes
from. I recently did look at a research page, and it said that a normal vaccine takes 10 to 12 years to process.
10 to 12 years. Right.
And that's from the FDA's own webpage.
Right. So what? We've in less than a year, we've approved the vaccination.
We skipped all of those things that we were talking about earlier. We skipped all those symptoms. Right. We skipped, you know, looking into all those symptoms that would have been worked out.
All of this leading to the idea, okay? There's no way that nobody didn't know about the military games. There's no way. There's no way. So this that was purposely overlooked as well.
It was purposely overlooked, more than likely for political reasons, because of the implication.
Right.
Now, and here's the thing. Whether it was purposefully done or not, doesn't matter. That's a moot point. The reason why it's important to get all the information is because we have to figure out exactly what happened, where they originated, how it was, you know, released or leaked. If we don't have transparency with these systems and everything, again, stays in the dark, you know, is covered with a dark veil, we can't expose the light to it. We're never going to learn from the mistake so that we don't repeat the mistake.
Well, I go back to the intentions, right? We have to go back and look why. Why did this happen? How could we have allowed this to happen? Why didn't anybody speak of this back in September?
Right.
How was this information completely lost?
And that's why the suppression is so...
Was it that we were afraid of warfare? Or was it that we are working with these entities?
Right, which is why we need the transparency. We don't have that answer.
Right.
And because we don't have that answer, here we are, you know, two guys in the middle of America trying to put pieces together because we're not being told the pieces. That's how suppression works, is not telling us the truth, not having any of the clarity that we need to come with these resolutions. So we're left with what? If we're not told the truth, is there a reason? And if there's a reason, are they working together? Like you said, like that's the problem. That's why there's a divide right now with the haves and the have-nots, or the elites and the...
Unfortunately, this, Jeff Rowe, I speak of this all the time with my children and everything. My son asked me, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm doing more than most. We're talking about this on a podcast, hoping to reach people and inform them. There has got to be a time when you have got to understand that there are going to be those out there who refuse to listen, because you're not going to catch the attention of everybody.
No.
I think we're at that time. And I think we're at the time now where it's, we don't try to talk sense in everyone, because those who don't want to hear it aren't going to hear it. Now we're at the time of, what's the next step? How do we prevent the next step from happening? I shared a video with you today or yesterday, of a child. I don't know if anybody else has seen this. There was a child on American Airlines. Now, this child was a very small child. He was maybe 2 years old, I think. Gets on the American Airlines. His mom provides a negative COVID test for the boy to get on American Airlines. Their mandate is to wear a mask, apparently share a negative COVID test. They do this. They're in the air. While they're in the air, the young boy, who's an asthmatic, doesn't want to put the mask on. And as a young 2-year-old would, begins to be fussy, begins to throw a bit of a fit. He wants air.
As 2-year-olds do.
He's right. Trying to breathe.
Right.
Now, if you're already in the air, and you've already got these mandates, and your 2-year-old, you know, won't wear the mask, is crying, what do you do? What does it matter at that point? Because if the young boy has COVID, even though he had a negative COVID test given to American Airlines, what do you do at that point? What can you do? What does it matter? Because you're already in a cabin, in the air, If he has it, everybody's going to get it at that point. It doesn't matter.
Right, because it's what? It's an aerosol.
It's an aerosol airborne pathogen.
But we're not being told that. We're being told you can... It's close contact pathogen. It's not a close contact pathogen, people. Look into your research. It is an aerosol pathogen. But yeah, go more to your point. At this point, which, you know, to the benefit of airlines, which I used to work for at one point in my time, their filtration systems on those planes are really fantastic. So, you know, there hasn't, I might be misspeaking, but I don't think there's been any proof of any contraction within those cabins. Their filtration, again, is really, really good. So that just adds another layer to the rationale of what happened to this mother and this child. Why?
It would make sense to just, you know, go about your business, get to your destination. American Airlines thought it best they turn around midair, turn around, land the plane, and kick the mother and the child off of the plane.
No. No.
Come here, baby. Come here.
You won't even have it near his face.
So imagine a world where children must suffer so the adults can feel safe. Turns out, we're living in it. American Airlines turned a flight around in order to kick off a 2-year-old boy who was suffering from an asthma attack because he couldn't wear his face mask during the medical emergency. Amanda Pendarvis, her mother, and her 2-year-old son, Waylon, were allegedly kicked off American Airlines Flight 1284 on Monday because Waylon was having an asthma attack. Pendarvis described it on Instagram as the most humiliating and traumatizing experience because of the actions of the flight attendant, who she named as Carl and described as truly evil and power tripping. And I'm personally starting to see this mask mandate as nothing but a chance for experiencing authority by low status people, something which they would not experience otherwise. In upsetting footage posted to Instagram by Pendarvis, her son can be seen crying and not wanting to wear the mask due to his inability to breathe. Despite allegedly showing the American Airlines attendant his negative COVID test and informing him that he has asthma, the flight attendant did not care that Waylon was literally hyperventilating. As a result, the plane was turned around and the family was escorted off by police officers. Despite the flight attendant announcing the incident to the whole plane, describing her son as a non-compliant traveler, the majority of passengers did not speak up about what was happening. American Airlines say they reached out to Pendarvis asking for more information, but where does the law stand on all this? Well, the Biden administration has doubled the fines for travelers who do not wear a mask on public transport, with first-time offenders now liable for fines up to $500. Exemptions apply for children under 2 and travelers with certain disabilities. It is therefore a possibility that this incident may have been incorrectly enforced by the American Airlines staff. Also, the child was 2 years old, so this series of events just doesn't quite add up. But what do you guys think of the 2-year-old baby having an asthma attack, not being able to wear his mask on the flight, and American Airlines turning the plane around?
So they were already in the air.
They were already in the air. Turn around, kick the mother and the child off the plane because the child is trying to breathe. He's an asthmatic. Even though, why are you asking for a negative COVID test if it doesn't mean a fucking lick of difference anyway?
They couldn't have given him one of the oxygen masks?
For whatever reason. They don't care. And this is the thought that you have this power over the American people to the point where a 2-year-old is crying hysterically because he's an asthmatic trying to get air in an airplane in the sky that some dick face from American Airlines deems it necessary to turn the plane around, land it, and kick these two individuals off the plane. If you could hear me, I'm telling everybody out there right now, boycott American Airlines. You want to make a difference? This is how you do it.
Hit them in the pocketbook.
Hit them in the pocketbook. Do not buy American Airline tickets. Don't do it. And if you see any other airlines pulling this bullshit, don't buy those tickets. Until these fucking people learn a lesson. Yes, it is your business. It is your organization that make money off of us.
Right.
We'll follow, we'll play the game, but if you're going to be dictators to the notion, well, that's where the game stops. And I think that's the same thing that we got to start looking at our own government entities right now about all of these mandates. This is ridiculous. It's unconstitutional. Can it happen? Sure. They can push this. Make no mistake about this. Are they able to mandate these damn things? Yes. They can legally do it. That doesn't make it constitutional. That doesn't mean they should do it.
And I'm going to throw a little something in here. I've discussed this with our friend Sean. A lot of people talk about the voting process, right? And this is a little bit of a side note, but I think it plays a point here with your, you know, with your thought with the boycotting. Many people believe the voting is rigged, right? We
talk about this all the time. We say that there hasn't been a fair election in how long?
Probably Kennedy was the last one, and they probably tried to manipulate that one.
Well, we said that we could possibly find evidence on would be Kennedy.
Right. But I want to propose this point, and this goes to what you were saying. We don't only vote with ballots. Actually, our most powerful vote is with our dollar.
Yeah.
Every day you spend money, if you go to Starbucks, you're voting that you enjoy their product, right? If you buy, you know, clothing, Under Armour, you're saying that you enjoy Nike, whatever. If you go to a movie theater, if you go to you buy a vehicle from Chevy or Ford, you're submitting your vote for that product.
Right.
Okay. So one of the things that's important, you know, maybe some people are hesitant to be part of the voting process, but make no mistake about it. Every single day you are part of the voting process. That's why we have a free market. The free market is a daily voting booth. Okay. So in this scenario with the boycott, you can vote and your vote matters. Yeah. And your vote matters because if you withhold your vote to that establishment, eventually for them to be able to succeed, they will have to figure out what it is that they need to do to change to be able to succeed. So vote. If you are somebody out there who doesn't like being part of the voting process, which there are many. Prior to this election, I heard something about there was approximately 120, 125 eligible voters. And in the last election, there was like 50 million voters. So basically half the public who are eligible to vote didn't vote. I think this past election, they had close to 90 million or 100 million voters. Mm. So it increased because it was so toxic,
right,
the whole process. But again, you don't just vote with ballots, people. You know, listeners out there, you vote with your dollars.
Oh, that's more of an impactful vote.
And it's more impactful. So again, you know,
make no mistake, no organization is too big to fail.
No. Wow. Socialism's good for the elite, but it's not good for, you know, healthcare, education, childcare. Sorry. That's my little thing.
No.
But no, I just, you know, it's important. It's important to vote every single day.
Yeah. And I, again, going back to the example that we've given, American Airlines. This is a prime example.
Vote no.
Don't give them your dollar. Not one. Not one. I would even say if there's an airline out there that wants proof of vaccination, if they want proof of a negative COVID test, if they want you to wear a mask at this point, if you haven't learned that you're capable of creating antibodies that is better for you than some jackass fucking conjured up vaccination that is actually killing people at therapy. The same time. And I'm not saying they're killing more people. I'm saying they're still killing people, right?
Right.
Don't. You're not going to get my dollar. That's fine. So I'm asking everybody out there right now. This is where we stand. This is how we make the difference. Enough is enough. We can't change the minds of those who don't want their minds to be changed, who prefer to sit in the dark, who prefer to be naive, who prefer to find bliss in ignorance. They prefer it. Stay in your cocoon. You want to get that shot, get the jab, I don't care. You want to wear your mask, do it, I don't care. You want me to do it? No. You want to force me to do it? No. And I'm going to tell every person, any person out there, I don't care who you are, and I don't care how high your rankings are, man or woman, make me, you son of a bitch, because I refuse to do it anymore. I've had the virus. I've overcome the virus. I've gotten myself healthier since then. You've gotten yourself healthier since then. I don't even know if you've ever had it. Have you ever had it?
Nope.
Never had it. The research that we do, we follow the science. We're told, follow the science.
And I travel all over the country.
All over the country. The science contradicts what you're telling me. You don't want me to follow the science. You want me to obey. Fuck you. You're not going to get any of my money. And I'm asking everybody out there hearing this podcast right now, if you can hear it, I'm asking you to do the same thing. You want to make a change? Enough is enough. Here's where we stand. I'll go to a restaurant that tells me that they require people to not show their vaccination papers, regardless of what their city or their state tells them to. And I will support that establishment.
You'll vote with your dollar.
I will vote with my dollar.
And that's the key. That's how we make a change. Right? Because a suppressed population is only suppressed because they give over their own power.
That's it. And we got to stop looking outward for other people for this change. Like Gandhi said, be the change you want to see.
Right. And, you know, we're not telling you what you guys have to do. If you guys wanted, like Mario said, you know, from my perspective, if you want to take the shot, you want to go ahead and spend your money in those places that
do it.
But guess what? I'm okay with that because that's your choice.
That's right.
Your choice is your choice. Yeah. But on the other side of that token, my choice is my choice. Should be no judgment because we are not here to judge. You know, was Jesus say, you know, the first, you know, let the person who's not sinned be the first to throw a stone.
Yeah.
Or something, paraphrasing.
Close enough.
But yes, you know, don't judge unless you want to be judged yourself. So my decision is my decision. All right. And I've informed enough to know that all this fear mongering isn't the issue behind spreading or shedding the virus you know, this vaccine or therapy or, you know, whatever. That's not why it's getting spread.
It's narrative push.
It's narrative push. And it's fear.
It's fear. Yeah. So here we are, right? We always talk about they're trying to divide us. They're trying to divide us. Well, they're doing that. They're dividing us, okay? At this point, like I said, I don't like to divide. I refuse to believe that we should be divided. But above all, I refuse to let go of my liberties. I refuse to let go of my freedom. And here we are. If you're with me and you follow me on this, vote with our dollars, just like Jeff Ross said. Here we go.
We can be divided with our opinion, but we should be united in our sovereignty.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's where the unity comes. We should have unity of our freedom. You know, sovereignty over your own body, sovereignty over your own decisions, sovereignty over your family. It's okay to be separate with your opinion because that's what enriches the community. Different cultures, different people, different colors, different creeds, different races. But our unity should come in the freedom. Unity should come in the sovereignty.
Well, The funny thing is these are the same people on the other side of the aisle saying, well, we want unity. We're all about the unity. We're all about, to give an example, Black Lives Matter. We're here, and I'm not saying Black Lives don't matter. They do matter. Your organization doesn't matter to me because you're the one feeding the hate. It's your organization indoctrinating the people because I'm a big kid, right? I love watching cartoons. I grew up watching cartoons. I'm still growing up watching cartoons. Watch cartoons with my kids. Can't tell you how many episodes of SpongeBob I've seen. But I'm watching some of the Nickelodeon programming. They got kids on there advocating for Black Lives Matter. Advocating for the organization Black Lives Matter. And in that, they also say, if it means taking to the streets and marching, what are you doing? You're speaking to children? You're telling them that your world is so racist that you should be pissed off to the point where you should take action into the street. Children? It's Nickelodeon. You want that shit? Leave that shit on CNN. Leave it on Fox. Leave it on NBC. Leave it on the news. Leave all that shit. Leave the kids alone.
Let them develop their own ideology. Let them grow.
Exactly. Jeffro, I think we're going to leave the podcast here because my head might explode if we don't.
Unfortunately, as we said before, with these updates, it's a shame, but if we wanted to become just an update show, we could.
And I, you know, again, for anybody who has reached out and offered their condolences, thank you very much. My brother-in-law, David Barnhart, who did pass away, we connected the dots. We know why.
That's an amazing statement. I can't believe the coroner said that.
We thank you. I don't know what else to say. Jeffro, you sent me, was it J.P. Spears? Is it Spears or...
Yeah, Awaken with JP, I believe.
Awaken with JP. We're gonna leave it a little bit of a clip at the end here because we have to. There's got to be light to the end of this.
Yes.
Right? And we'll go from there. But again, thank you everybody who has reached out to us. Some people understand. I had somebody reach out to me recently who said they lost one of their best friends through their friendship. Because they had different of opinions and different ideas, and this person was best friends with this person since they were adolescent. I believe they said 7 years old, and then all of a sudden, since you have a different way of thinking, the other person thought it was best they end their friendship. This is the division that's caused right now. I'm not for it whatsoever. I respect everybody's opinions. I respect everybody's decisions. But I'm going to do what I feel I have to in the meantime to protect my own freedoms and my rights.
Absolutely.
All right, everybody. Well, I think we're going to end it here. What do you think?
Yeah, it was important information. We felt like we needed to go ahead and get it out to you guys. So we hope you enjoy this one, and we will do more updates in the future.
I'm announcing that the Department of Labor is developing an emergency rule to require all employers with 100 or more employees that together employ over 80 million workers to ensure their workforces are fully vaccinated.
Get vaccinated.
Okay, because you said so? Should we also let the king assault our wives on our wedding night because he said so? Get the f*** out of here. Now to the question. Should you obey Emperor Biden's new mandate? Let's find out. But first, as the people that run Biden had him announce their new mandate, what meant a lot to most Americans was how well he read off the teleprompter the whole time. He honestly did much better than usual, and I think that deserves to be acknowledged. And the rest of his speech was really eaten up by the few sheep that are left grazing upon this great leader's words. But the thing that's not faring well with all the lions in America is the whole part of Biden pretending he's got the tyrannical authority to tell people what to do with their bodies. These lions inconveniently have things called God-given liberties, freedom, sovereignty, and what's that thing called? The Constitution, which ironically protects them really well from this president. But JP, he said we have to do this. Cool, keep eating. Your wool will be ready in the fall. But for now, I'm talking to the lions, not you. But even for the lions, wouldn't it be a good idea for us to violate our free will and mindlessly follow this demented puppet's guidance on our health and freedom? I mean, look at what a beautiful disaster Biden created in Afghanistan. Wouldn't you like his leadership and track record to do the same for your health and freedom? You could be your own Afghanistan if you listen to him. But at least Biden's willing to praise the Taliban on the week of 9/11, even though they're a murderous regime currently holding Americans hostage. Not only does that make him seem trustworthy, but it kind of makes you optimistic that he'd be willing to celebrate your enslavement to his authority if you give him your freedoms. On that note, I will say, Biden's tyranny is synonymous with honesty. I remember back in July when his press secretary said they would not be instituting these mandates. But when they said that back then, that's honestly what they wanted us to believe. Deception for our own protection, right? JP, you're nuts! He's violating our freedoms for our own good. It's funny how abusers say the same thing to their victims in order to minimize how much resistance they encounter in violating their victims. Right, Joe?
This is not about freedom or personal choice. It's about protecting yourself and those around you.
Sheep probably just heard a message of protection. Lions heard a message of abuse. So if you do the math, there's two possibilities why Biden would be trying to violate your freedom. One is he's an abuser, because he's acting out the exact behavior of an abuser. But this scenario is definitely not likely. And the other possibility is, well, is like why ever else good people would want to violate other people's freedoms. It's like, probably a lot of good reasons why people would want to violate other people in a way that's beneficial. Someone's just got to think of them. I remember when Benjamin Franklin said, "Those who give up their freedom for safety deserve neither." And Biden said, "This is not about freedom. This is for your safety." Those are two very different perspectives. But Benjamin Franklin was a strong advocate for the Constitution, and Biden disregards it altogether. So, well, he's mandating that people get this shot whether they want it or not, so what can we do? Well, that's a great question. If you're a sheep, go ahead and keep grazing on obedience in the corral of your comfort zone. But if you're a lion, you might want to consider the words of Martin Luther King Jr. "One has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws." And that's what the lions are doing. So far, the governors of these states have said they will not obey Biden's tyrannical, unconstitutional mandates. What if you're a business owner with more than 100 employees? What can you do?
All right. Today, Joe Biden announced he was going to use the full force of the federal government to mandate that all companies with 100 plus employees force their workers to be vaccinated or subject them to weekly tests for COVID-19. I just got off the phone with our lawyers, and I just want to reiterate something that I already said today on Twitter. No. The Daily Wire does have more than 100 employees, but we won't be enforcing Joe Biden's unconstitutional and tyrannical vaccine mandate.
Oh, that's what you can do. Do what's right by disobeying. But I'd be one of the only ones disobeying. Based on what the guy trying to implement the mandates is telling me, most people want them. It's probably not what you think. Take a look at the video of Biden announcing his exciting new mandates, and notice the impressive like versus dislike ratio. Similar to Martin Luther King, Gandhi once said, "Civil disobedience becomes a sacred duty when the state becomes lawless or corrupt." Huh, I wonder why Martin Luther King and Gandhi would say disobedience is our duty. Maybe they're suggesting that you can't obey your way out of tyranny and that you have to disobey your way out of tyranny. Maybe that's how you stop the tyrannical few from controlling the many. I guess if you're not under a trance of fear, that kinda makes sense. After all, both Martin Luther King and Gandhi used disobedience to crumble the control that unjust segregating forces had over society in their days that created two classes of citizens. Oh, and probably just coincidentally, Biden's hand of tyranny is trying to impose unjust segregation over society to create two classes of citizens. Watch.
We're going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated coworkers.
And watch this, too.
This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Pandemic of the unvaccinated. Certainly is if you talk to a scientist. But if you talk to a scientist who practices science, you'll find it's not true. And it's beautiful how Biden's trying to create unity by creating division, by trying to get you to look at the unvaccinated as second-class citizens. Have we seen this before? Oh, yeah. The Nazis called Jews lice environments to help encourage weak-minded people to be willing to do inhumane things to Jews. Now, I really can't stress enough that the people that run Biden are perfectly executing the first 6 steps of genocide. Will they get to all 10? They will if you let them. And they won't if you don't let them. The cool thing is, which is kind of scary, it's up to you. What else did the most popular president in history, with one of the worst approval ratings in history, have to say?
We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin.
Aw, Joe, your patience is wearing thin, and you're trying to use fear to intimidate us? While you're wearing soiled Depends, you tyrant? Well, the good news is, what's not wearing thin is the Second Amendment. So your patience means f*** all to lions. So, with all the exciting revelations that come with Biden's new mandate announcement, should you comply? That depends on if you're a lion or a sheep. If you're a sheep, enjoy the day on your green pastures of peaceful slavery. But for the lions, it's time to stand up. Disobey the tyrants and uphold your freedoms. Because lions know freedom is what makes life worth living. And I promise you this, there's more of us than you think. It's time, lions.